Hallelujah. Amen. And I thank God for his marvelous, marvelous, amazing grace. I thank him for the spirit of the Lord that is in this house. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Anybody that wouldn't want to come here has lost their mind. Amen. As I tell you, the presence of the Lord is in this house. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts, chapter number 28. Acts chapter number 28. Pastor has already walked all over my stuff tonight. Confirmation. He didn't know what I was going to preach about tonight, but I think the Lord does. Amen. Acts chapter 28. I want to read verses 1 through 6. I want to read my text from the New King James Version tonight. It'll be close to King James if that's what you're looking at. I want to use that tonight as I read the word of the Lord. Now when they had escaped, they then found out that the island was called Malta or Melita. And the natives showed us unusual kindness, for they kindled a fire and made us all welcome because of the rain that was falling and because of the cold. But when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, a viper came out because of the heat and fastened on his hand. So when the natives saw the creature hanging from his hand, they said one to another, "No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he has escaped the sea, yet justice does not allow to live." But he shook off the creature into the fire and suffered no harm. However, they were expecting that he would swell up or suddenly fall down dead. But after they had looked for a long time, let's shout a minute. How many is looking at that out of the King James Version of your Bible? I'm going to mispronounce that beginning word right there, but it makes a lot of sense. I know it's supposed to be said how be it, but I like to say how beat. How beat they looked. My Lord, I feel like praising God. Amen. Shoo, glory. Let me see if I can finish reading this a little bit here. Hallelujah. But after they looked for a long time and saw no harm come to him, they changed their minds, I'm not surprised, and said that he was a god. With you worshiping the Lord with me and the Holy Ghost touching me and anointing me, I want to talk to you for a little while on this thought. A fire for a cold day. A fire for a cold day. If I see I can't make it, I'm going to hand this mic to your pastor because he is on the same wavelength tonight with me. A fire for a cold day. Have you ever met people who went to church and tried to have a little bit of religion, but they wanted to keep a low profile? I've met those kind of people. They wanted to be born again, but they didn't want the devil to take notice of them because they were afraid if they got too fired up for Jesus, then the devil would attack them. Man, God help those kind of people. In several places in the Bible, Satan himself is depicted has a snake or a serpent. In fact, he is depicted as that in the very beginning of the word of the Lord. Now, I don't like snakes. No. I certainly don't bring none with me. I do handle them, however, but it's with my 9mm. That's how I'll handle them. Amen. I don't like them. A dead one is the prettiest one to me. I don't care how much bugs and varmints and rodents they may eat, they still look better dead than alive to me. I do understand a few things about serpents, though. I understand that some of them will bite you and can kill you with their poison. Others will suffocate their victims. It is said that a constrictor will wait until you're asleep. This probably depicts the devil better than any of them. And then he'll slide up beside you and slowly wrap his coils around you until he has his grip on you, and then he will squeeze the very life out of you. Sounds like the devil to me. Come on. Because if the life is out of you, if you can't breathe, you can't function, you can't praise, you can't worship, you can't witness, why, you can't even cry out for help if there's no life in you. And so if the enemy can squeeze the very life out of us, then we're in a miserable condition. But you see, the Apostle Paul was someone who was not willing to sit silently by while the devil squeezed the witness and the worship and the prayer and the praise out of him. He wasn't someone who was going to sit down just quietly and idly by and let the devil have his way with him. No, sir. Paul was a militant man for Jesus. And yes, it got the devil's attention. Come on, somebody. Paul would not stop witnessing, and he had every intention of taking his story to Rome, to Caesar himself. As a result of a series of events, Paul is placed under protective custody, and he is put on a ship sailing for Rome. Obviously, Satan didn't want Paul to take his witness to Rome, so he tried to kill him, along with the other 276 people that were on this ship. But I got some good news. Anybody want some good news? Satan tried to kill him, but Satan was unsuccessful. He didn't accomplish what he would have liked to have done. He was unsuccessful. The Bible lets us know in the previous chapter, talking about this storm and the severity of this storm, the Bible lets us know that the ship was destroyed. The cargo was lost, but not a single life was lost. As a matter of fact, the Bible said that some made it on boards and pieces of the ship. Some swam, I guess, their way. But all made it safely to the shore. And that's where we come up with this text that we have read from tonight. Paul and the others have ended up on an island called Malta in the Mediterranean Sea. Now, Luke is the author of the book of Acts, and he is the author of this story. And mind you, he's on this voyage with Paul. So when you read this story, you're not just reading a man's dream. You're not just reading about something that a man tried to think up and write about. You are literally reading the story from a man who had firsthand experience in this storm and this ship ride. I believe that Luke knew what he was talking about. And he's writing from a firsthand eyewitness experience. Luke says that the native people of this island, now they hadn't heard the good news of the gospel, but somehow they must have recognized who some of these people were that had landed on their island. Luke says that they showed them unusual kindness. And they kindled or they built a fire for them because of the present rain and because of the cold. Now I've got to hand it to these people. And I've got to at least say this: thank God for somebody who can recognize when the elements are cold. And the only cure is to build a fire. Amen. They kindled a fire because of the rain and because of the cold. Now, as I read that verse of Scripture, something occurred to me that hasn't ever really occurred to me quite this way before. And that's this. There's nothing. Somebody say nothing. I want you to understand, there is nothing any more, let me borrow a word that may not even be in the dictionary, sadder. There's nothing any more sadder than for people who have been rescued from the sinking ship of sin and have washed ashore, but to land in a church that is lifeless and cold. Nothing is any more pathetic than for sinners who have been saved or sinners who have never been saved to come through the doors of our church looking for a fire. Looking for some fervency, looking for some excitement, looking for some joy. After all, they've experienced what the world has and they're not satisfied, so that's why they come to our church. But when nothing can be any more pathetic than for them to come through our doors and leave saying there's more excitement and joy in the world than there was in the church. What an indictment on the church. I'm telling you, we need a fire. And these folks kindled a fire because they realized that it was cold. You see, when the lost are saved and when the sinners come through the doors of the church, we better have a fire burning. We better have the fire of the Holy Ghost burning on the altar. Why invite a cold sinner to an altar where the fire is gone out? There's nothing going to happen, my friend. They'll go down a cold sinner and get up a cold sinner. But can I tell you, if the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning on the altars of the church, it doesn't matter how deep in sin that sinner may be. It doesn't matter how much wrong they may have done. It doesn't matter how much booze they may have drank. It doesn't matter how much drugs they may have shot up in their veins. When a sinner comes before an almighty God and bows in an altar where the fire of the Holy Ghost is burning, I want to tell you there's a great possibility they're going to get up changed and transformed by the power of God. We've got to have the fire of the Holy Ghost in our church. There's something wrong when people can find people that's more fired up at a football game than at the house of God. Oh, come on and help me preach. Something's not right with that picture. Amen. You ever watched a football game? That's the only game I kind of like to watch when I got time. Now, I've spent a few years as a pastor. Thank God I ain't doing that right now. But especially in my days of pastoring, nothing was more therapeutic for me than to sit down on a Sunday evening and watch somebody else run over somebody, flatten them out, and keep going. I've sat there and put names on those people. It's been therapeutic for me. Now that I'm honest, let's have church. But I said that to say this. That game wouldn't be near the game it is if it wasn't for the excitement that was in the stands. And I want to tell you, there's people that will go to those games. They'll drive for miles, perhaps even fly for miles. They'll sit in a stadium up in the nosebleed section. They'll pay $5 or $8 for a hot dog. More than that for a drink. The wrong kind of drink. Their joy is in a bottle. They'll sit beside somebody they don't even know. But you let that game get to going, they'll lose their self. My God, I feel the Holy Ghost. They'll lose their self, forget about who they are. They'll forget about who's sitting beside of them. And they'll jump, they'll dance, they'll holler and scream at that fella on that field and knowing they can't hear him. Come on, somebody help me here now. They'll yell at the defense and tell them what to do. They can't hear them, but they don't care. In fact, they're so into this thing that some folk will even dress like their team. That's how dedicated they are. Come on. They'll wear their team colors. They'll sit on the opposite side if they have to. They'll sit with the home team, but they'll still holler for their team. They're not bashful. They're not ashamed. Oh, my Lord. It doesn't matter. It may be raining. It may be snowing. Come on, it may be blizzard conditions, but nothing puts out their fire. Nothing puts out their excitement. Nothing puts out their joy, and they'll just enjoy that thing. As a matter of fact, it may be halftime, and their team may be down 14 or 21 points. But they don't leave. It ain't went their way so far, but they don't leave. Oh, I've seen some church folk leave way before halftime because they didn't like the song that was being sung. Come on. Or it was too cold in here. It was too hot in here. Oh, there's a reason I ain't pastoring. Come on. And they'll leave way before halftime. And they'll already say, well, this thing is a downer today. We've already lost this thing. I'm going home. And they'll leave way before they have to pay. You know. But not folks at a game. They'll stay there. I'm telling you what, you could burn that hot dog to a crisp. They'd still eat it. They wouldn't complain about it because they're so into what's going on that these minor things don't matter to them. Come on. Amen. They don't pay no attention to those little things like that because they're there to see their team win. I'm telling you, they have a fire on the inside of them that they refuse to let go out. But here is my quirk. Here is my problem. Here is where I have difficulty with that. Is we are letting those folk. We are letting those folk in those conditions outshout us and outpraise us. We're letting them show more joy than we're showing. We've got a nice building. We can come in here in the rain. We were here Sunday and it sounded like heaven bursted.
We've got a nice place to come to and worship the Lord. We can turn the heat on when it's cold. We can turn the air on when it's hot. We got good singing. You'll have good preaching when I get out of here, probably. I don't want to brag on myself and y'all think I'm arrogant, but it has been pretty good. We've got all of these wonderful amenities, nice restrooms. You don't have to walk down out of a nosebleed section and 14 miles to get to one. Come on. We got all these wonderful things that God has blessed us with, and somehow we've allowed the snake of the devil to bite us and think that this is all ours, that we own this thing and we can just do whatever we want to do, and we sit around and let the fire of the Holy Ghost go out in the church. I want to tell you tonight, I am preaching for a team that's not about to win. I'm preaching for a team that has already won. Hey, I'm preaching for a team that won before the game ever got started. Hallelujah. And I come to tell you, I don't get my joy out of a bottle. My joy comes from the Lord. I sing because I'm happy. I sing because I'm free. I sing because I once was blind, but now I can see. I sing because he has saved me. He has redeemed me. Hallelujah. He scored my touchdown. He knocked my home run when he hung on Calvary's cross. He put a fire in my soul, and I'm not about to let the devil put that fire out. Hallelujah. Somebody praise him in this house with me right now. Hallelujah. I feel it. I said, I feel it. I said, I feel the fire of the Holy Ghost burning in this church right now. Hallelujah. Oh, by the way, folks, at these ball games, they have what's called tailgate parties. They're excited before they ever get in the stadium. They're already three sheets in the wind. Come on. Come on. Man, they're partying. They're acting like their team's already won. And their game ain't even started yet. They get there early. I had no idea this sermon was going to go this way, by the way. They get there early, crank up the grill, have their tailgate parties. My God, we come dragging in 30 minutes late to the house of God because we don't like the first two or three songs. Come on. We'll intentionally make our kidneys move at offering time so we can get up and go out and dodge the offering plate. Thank you for your offering. That's not a plug to give more. I'm just preaching up here right now. Amen. Somewhere we've let the fire die. Somewhere we've let it go out. Somewhere we've lost the joy of the Lord. I'm praying God give us a revival that'll remind us of the day when he saved us by his grace. I was just praying the other day. I said, Lord, take me back to the moment when you saved me. Because I remember when the Lord saved me. How many remember that? I remember when the Lord saved me, I didn't have anything but joy. I didn't have anything but a fire in my belly. I didn't have anything but the power of the Spirit overflowing me. I wasn't paying any attention to who was there. I wasn't paying any attention to what the song was. It didn't matter to me who was there or what they were singing. I was just running over with joy. Oh, come on. You got to watch some Christian folk, because if you hang around them long enough, you'll lose your joy. Hello. Oh, but all I had was a fire in my belly, joy in my soul, happy to be saved. Hallelujah. Shouting up and down the aisles, singing glory, hallelujah. And oh, I've met some of the crowd that says that's not necessary. Wow. I've run into a few folk that said, you really think all that emotion is really necessary? Can you come up with what I told them? I said, yeah. I really feel like it's necessary. Put your hand on a hot stove, you'll move. Come on. Stick your finger in a mouse trap. You'll wiggle. You'll move. I'm telling you, you get touched with the fire of God, you'll move. There'll be excitement. I'm telling you, when you experience all time heaven sent, Holy Ghost breakdown, salvation, my God, you'll move a little bit because you'll understand you're not who you used to be. Hallelujah. We need to beware lest we let the fire die. There's something about this story that grabs my attention. One thing about this is we're talking about a previously built fire here. Paul didn't build this fire. The folk on this ship didn't build this fire. Somebody else built this fire. Oh, I had the Holy Ghost speak to me and remind me. When I got in this thing, I wasn't handed a cold, dead, lifeless church. Now, I've been in Pentecost all of my life. Praise the Lord for that. But I'm telling you, I wasn't handed a cold, dead, lifeless church. When I got in this thing, she was on fire. Matter of fact, this church reminds me a whole lot of how it was when I got in this thing. When I got in this thing, they shouted in the choir. Come on. When I got in this thing, they shouted up and down the aisles of the church. When I got in this thing, they were slain in the spirit and rolled in the floor. When I got in this thing, I can remember as a kid seeing bobby pins fly out of ladies' hairs as they would shout. And it looked like missiles flying through the air everywhere. Come on. When I got in this thing, preachers took the pulpit and preached heaven sweet and hell hot and didn't apologize for it. I feel some preaching coming on. I wasn't handed a cold, dead, lifeless church, but thank God somebody had built the fire when I got in this thing. Amen. And I thank God for those people that built the fire. I thank God I wasn't handed a cold, dead, lifeless church. I thank God for men like your pastor. Come on, let's just give God praise for the man of God. Amen. I'm not after anything here. I'm just preaching my heart tonight. But thank God for men like Pastor Jethro, who has blazed the trail, who has preached the truth, who has kept the fire of the Holy Ghost burning, who is not afraid to declare the whole counsel of God, who will stand in the face of the devil and declare, we are part of the army of the Lord. This is God's church, and we'll not let the devil have it. To God be the glory for the great things he has done through great men like him. Come on and praise the Lord in this house. And I want to tell you that I'll stand before God and give an account if I let the fire die. Come on. I've got to preach it like they preached it.
I've got to tell it like they told it. I've got to believe it like they believed it. I've got to stand in the devil's face like they have and lift up the blood-stained banner of Jesus Christ and refuse to let the fire of the Holy Ghost go out in the church. We've got to keep the fire of God burning.
When I got in this thing, they preached salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ. No other way to be saved but through the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow, no other found. I know nothing but the blood of Jesus. They preached the blood. I'm feeling my roots, Pastor. When I got in this thing, they preached a sanctified life. Come on. Purity. Pure within. Power. Cleansing power. Living a sanctified life. Separated from the world. I can't tell you how many times I was told, you're in the world, but you don't have to be of the world. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father which is in heaven. I was told there's such a thing as a sanctified life. When I got in this thing, they preached the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the initial evidence of speaking in other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. There was no debate back then as to whether that's the initial evidence or not. It never even entered the mind of those people back then. They knew that when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you'll talk in that heavenly language. That is the initial sign of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing how compromised we'll do today just to get a crowd. We better not let the fire go out. Look at your neighbor and say, stir up the fire. Stir up the fire. When I got in this thing, she believed in the virgin birth. She believed in the substitutionary death. She believed in a resurrected Lord. She believed in an ascended Jesus. And she believed that soon and very soon he was coming again. And I'm telling you, those were the days when the fire was burning. And if that's what it took to have the fire then, we cannot preach, practice, or believe anything short of that today if we're going to have the fire of God in the church. It's colder than it's ever been before. And we need a fire. We need a fire. Thank you, Holy Ghost. I don't know how long Paul had sat by that fire. I don't know the time frame. But one thing I do know, he recognized it was dying. And he decided to do something about it. What a message for the church. We're in bad shape when we can sit through a service with no fire and not even recognize it. We're in terrible shape. Your pastor's already preached this point, so I'm going to move on to my next one here in just a minute. But we need some folk that'll take some personal responsibility and kindle the fire and not let the fire go out. Come on. Now, I don't know how long it had been, but Paul decided that he was going to do something about this dying fire. He got up. Oh Oh, my goodness. If I say that one more time, it'll be on again. He got up. The theme of this revival must be get up. He got up. You see, he couldn't sit there and stir the fire. He had to get up to stir the fire. Had he just sat there, it would have got colder and colder and colder. But he had to get up to stir the fire. Pastor, we're going to have to get up to stir the fire. We can't sit on a pew and expect the fire to be stirred up. We got to get up and stir the fire. He got up. My Lord, I feel that every time I say it. And Paul went. And he gathered a bundle of sticks. Yes, sir. And he laid them on the fire. Now, snakes in the sticks or in the fire? Where was he? I ain't for sure. I know. I'm going to tell you where I think he was. And when you preach this, preach it however you feel led. But right now, I'm going to preach it how I feel led. I'm going to tell you where I think it was. Somebody done said sticks. I'm going to disagree with you, whoever you were. Because I don't think the snake was in the sticks. I'm going to tell you where I think it was. I think it was in the embers and the ashes of a previously built fire. He was in a place where it wasn't too cold to freeze him. And he was in a place where it wasn't too hot to scorch him or burn him. So where was he? He was in the embers and the ashes of a lukewarm fire. I'm going to tell you, we'd have a whole lot less trouble in the church if we keep the fire hot. But it's when we get lukewarm that the devil can slide his sneaky self in and start doing his ugly stuff. Come on. My God, but as long as we keep the fire hot. Hey, you hear me? When he laid those sticks on the fire and the fire got hot, the snake come out. There is nothing like a red hot Holy Ghost church that'll drive the devil out of his comfortable position. My God, if you can come to church and allow the devil to sit beside you on a pew. Now, I'm not talking about the person that's beside of you here. You understand me tonight. You follow me in the spirit, okay? But if you can come to church and the devil can sit by you and be comfortable, you ain't got anything. I felt that pinch a little bit, but I feel anointed enough to keep going here. I said if the devil can sit beside you and not feel anything and be comfortable, your fire's gone out. You hear me? But I'm telling you, if the devil tries to get in here beside of you, you just need to stir up the fire. He'll move. He'll move because he's uncomfortable in the fire when the fire gets hot. See, that's why the devil can't bother you singing, because I notice things before you ever come out here to sing. You get together and you pray and you build a fire. And if there's anything the devil would like to get in, it's the choir. Come on. If he can get in the choir, he'd like to be in the choir. Because he likes music. You know why he likes music? Because before he showed himself, when he was in heaven, his name was Lucifer. God didn't create a devil. It was an angel. And his primary function in heaven was to pass along the praise and all the worship and all the glory to God. And I've read after some Bible commentators who have talked about Lucifer, they said that he was created, or believed that he was created in such a way that when he would literally move, as the air would just pass through that glorified being, that from his body would come tones of melody. He likes music, but he don't like it the way you sing it. But if he can get in the choir and mess up the music. But see, you won't let him here because you go through that door. On the other side of that door, you build a fire. I heard you building the fire tonight. I was sitting right there, and I could hear you building the fire. You see, on the other side of that door, you build a fire, and then you bring it out here. He can't get in the choir because the fire's hot. Come on. Come on. So if he can't get in the choir, he'll try to camp out right here. Well, I got news for you. He ain't here. Because there's a fire in this pulpit. It was here before I got here. I'm telling you, I have some of them revivals where they expect me to build a fire, and I'll spend a whole week trying to build a fire, and I'm about cold and froze myself by the time it's over. Now here, I like coming where the fire's already built. Amen. See, I can bring what it takes to build a fire, but if it's going to take everything I've got, the first service, to build a fire, and it still ain't burning, we're in trouble. But if the fire's already going, I can just bring what I got and add it to the fire, and it just gets hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter. Well, if he can't do anything here, guess where he's going next? Right out here. He's going to slide in right out here. He's going to slide in beside you and tell you, you don't feel like praising. Just sit here and be quiet. Don't make a spectacle of yourself. You know, he'll try to convince you this is a refined place. See, he can't say refired. He says refined. This is a refined place, so don't get excited. He'll bite you with his poison or wrap himself. He'll make it like he loves you, you know. Wrap himself around you. What he's really doing is squeezing the life out of you. Trying to squeeze out your praise. Trying to squeeze out your worship. I serve notice on the devil. He's defeated in the name of Jesus. He's defeated in the name of Jesus. I come tonight to praise my God, and I'm going to praise him, and I'm going to worship him. I'm not about to let the fire of the Holy Ghost go out in the church of God. As long as I've got breath and a place to preach, I'm going to defend the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm going to do everything I can do to keep the fire of God burning in the church. The flames got hot, and out come the snake. Something else that's quite interesting to me here is this. The snake latched on to the one who stirred the fire. He latched on to the person that stirred the fire. Notice he never bothered the others that just sit there and was watching it go out. Because, help me now. They're doing exactly what he wants them to do. Let me give you a piece of information that you already know, so I tell you this so you won't forget. Satan only bothers those who are a bother to him. So if he ain't bothering you, you're not bothering him. That's some deep theology right there. If he's not bothering you, you're not bothering him. But he latched on to the man that stirred the fire. I'm convinced that if he had bit that other crowd that just sat there, they'd have died. Because they didn't have anything to start with. Or they're the kind of people that says, Let Brother Paul do it. He's more eloquent. He knows what he's doing. Let him do it. They represent the kind of people that say, well, if Sister Susie, is there? I hope, maybe there's not a Susie in here. I just have to borrow a name. If there is, God bless you, you're a good person. But they're the kind of people that says, if Sister Susie will shout, I will. They represent the kind of people that sit there and wait on somebody else to move. They don't care how cold it gets. They're going to sit there and wait on somebody else to move. May God forgive us for our complacency and sitting there waiting on somebody else to move. I found out a long time ago, if I wait on somebody else to shout, I'd be waiting a long, long time. Come on. But I decided that I'm going to build a fire, and I'm going to kindle the fire, and I'm not going to let the fire go out. Hallelujah. Latched on to Paul's hand. Something else is quite interesting in this story to me. And that is this. The speculation of the spectators. The rest of that crowd that sat there and looked at him. Now here's the thing about the speculation of the spectators. They won't do a thing but sit there and look. And then when you do something, they'll blame you for it. Well, here's this bunch. I can see them right now. Well, he should have known better than that. He ought to known better than to just go out in the wild and just gather up a bunch of sticks and put it on a fire. What else do you expect? I can hear him now. Blame Paul. They're sitting there freezing. Fire going out. Paul decides to kill the fire. And the speculators sit there and say, that's his fault. If he'd have been a man of God, this wouldn't have happened. Come on, don't shout me down now when this is getting really good. If he'd have really been full of the Holy Ghost like he says he was, the snake wouldn't have come out and latched on to him. Let me tell you something, Holy Ghost-filled person. You're the one he's after. I said you're the one he's after. He ain't after that cold, numb crowd that's lost it. He's not after that crowd that's just sitting by watching everybody else. No, if you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're the one he's after. You're the one he's going to bite. You're the one he's going to attack. Oh, but greater is he that's within you than he that is in the world. Let me tell you something. Paul had a fire in him that was hotter than the fire around him. And the spectator sat there and expected him to swell up, fall down, and die. I'm going to tell you something. The devil should have killed me and you while he had the chance. He should have. He should have killed us while he had the chance. He had his chance and missed it. Hallelujah. Man, has he tried to kill me since. But greater is he that's within me than he that is in the world. They thought he should have swelled up, fell down, and died. How beat they looked when he didn't swell up, fall down, and die. But instead, take your seatbelt off. Get ready, get ready, get ready. You know who says that, don't you? I like him. Get ready, get ready, get ready. Get ready, get ready, get ready. I feel a get ready spirit. I feel a getting up spirit about to get on somebody. When they thought he should have fell down and died,
shook it off. I said he shook it off. He shook it off. Hey, Sunday morning it was a get up. Sunday night it was wounded but worship. Tonight, shake it off. Shake it off. Hallelujah. And the Bible says explicitly, he felt no harm.
Hey, glory to God. I want you to notice something. Notice something. He never just shook it off. He shook it off into the fire. Now, some folks can shake it off, but they don't shake it off into the fire. Now, if you don't shake it off into the fire, the good Holy Ghost fire, if you don't shake him off into that fire, you can shake all you want to on Sunday. But if you didn't shake it off in the fire, he'll be back in your middle of your mess by Monday. Oh, that doesn't mean he won't show back up. But you see, every time the devil shows back up, I say, you remember that fire, don't you? It's still burning, devil. It's still hot. And if you latch your crazy self on me, I'm going to shake you off into the fire and feel no harm. Man, I've got a heritage in this Pentecostalism in this church. I was born and raised in the Church of God, in this Pentecostal movement. And for that, I'm very thankful, and I'm very grateful. And I've preached in multiple other churches, not under the Church of God covering, but that were full of the same fire and Holy Ghost that I was brought up and raised in. And I'll still this day, I'll go anywhere and preach this good news. But I have a heritage in this thing. Now, give me just a minute here and I'll try to close at least in the next hour. I don't think I can make it that long, but bear with me. My mama was a Methodist lady when she met my uneducated, fourth grade educated daddy, who was Pentecostal, full of the Holy Ghost. Somehow, a Methodist and a Pentecostal fell in love with each other. Something happened to my Methodist mother. And when I say Methodist, it was the dried out kind. Now again, you know, I'm not here for long, so I can say that and I'll be out of your way. She didn't know about this Pentecostal movement, but you see, you hang around Pentecost like we feel it around here. It's like being on a slick, muddy riverbank. You stay long enough, you're going to slide in. She slid in, and when she slid into grace and sanctification and Holy Ghost and got full of the Holy Ghost. And my mama's told me this story. She had to verify it last week. I took her to Alabama with me because I was preaching for my brother who pastors in Alabama last week. So I took my mama with me to see my brother. So she had to verify it to some folk. Because believe it or not, there were some folk that didn't believe it. What I'm fixing to tell you, they didn't believe. I hope you believe it because my mama's 6 hours from here. We could call her on the phone, I guess, but I think you'll believe me. My mama was pregnant with me. There's two of us. My brother's younger than I am. I'm the oldest, best looking, and wisest.
But my mama was expecting me. I was about to discover America. September 8th, 1964. I'm not ashamed of my age. I look good for my age. She was 9 months. I was ready to come out and see the lights of the world. But she had just gotten saved and full of the Holy Ghost, and they were having a baptizing. Not the sprinkling kind, the kind they were baptized like Jesus was baptized. Kind of like I believe it. Not in a baptistry, because even back then we didn't have as nice a sanctuaries as we have now. So you know where you went for a baptizing, don't you? Down by the riverside. Down by. That's where we laid our burdens down. They took my mama at 9 months, expecting me. I'm scheduled. My TOA is any moment, time of arrival. And she walked into that water and was baptized. And when she come up out of the water, she told me this. She said, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, you're carrying a preacher of the gospel. So I was called almost 31 years, I was called almost 50 years and 9 months ago to preach. I believe it with all of my heart. But now on my daddy's side, I was just telling you what the Lord could do for the Methodist side. Now my daddy's side is Pentecostal, and he's told me stories about my grandpa Phillips. They died when I was 6 years old. I have a very vague memory of them. I'm getting somewhere with this, and I'm going as quickly as I can. Thanks for bearing with me. But I have stories of my grandpa Phillips. He used to drive the old church bus. You ever know about the Prentice Church of God, Pastor? Okay, that's where it was at. Years ago, my grandpa drove the bus. No bus. He had to make at least two trips to get everybody to church that rode the bus. But I heard these stories. This will bless you. I'm telling you, this will bless you. They told me these stories. He'd be late getting there with the bus. They'd try to wait on him at church for the bus to get there, and he'd be late. You know why he was late? Because I've been told that one old person would get on there with his guitar, and they'd start singing a song, and the Holy Ghost would start to moving on the bus. And the bus would rock so much to the point my grandpa couldn't hold it in the road, and he had to pull off the side of the road and wait on that crowd to settle down so he could get back on the road and get those folk to church. They'd go in the church speaking in tongues and shouting, because they were already having church on the bus. My grandma Phillips, under the unction and the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I believe this story because my daddy told me. One time, she was anointed of the Holy Ghost. She wore these long dresses and then a long apron over the top of it. Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. She shouted and picked up fire coals out of an old, they used to call them pot belly stoves. About the only thing I know about a pot belly is when I look at myself. But I reckon it was a know-what, just an old big round stove, I guess. It would be so hot, it would be red. But I have stories that my grandma, under the Holy Ghost, picked up hot coals, put them in her apron, and shouted around the place they were having church, and put them back in the stove, and they looked at her after, wanted to see if she was burned, and there was not a scar on her hand. That's my heritage. So when I tell you, when I got in this thing, it was on fire. It was on fire. It was on fire. I can remember growing up as a child. I'd go to church and I'd see the saints of God shout shake and shout. Dance in the Holy Ghost, fall out in the Spirit. Shake and shout. And back then I didn't quite understand all that was going on. But now I'm who I am and as the age I am and standing in this church before you preaching tonight, I know now better than ever what them folk were doing. They were shaking it off. They were shaking it off. They'd had a bad week, but they shook it off. They'd been talked about and persecuted, but they shook it off. Come on, they'd been lied on and abused, but they shook it off. They'd had things thrown at them. They'd had their tent burnt down. They'd had their churches set on fire, but they got in there and they shook it off. Come on, they just shook it off and they give glory and praise to God. I want to tell you, they had a fire on the inside of them that was hotter than the devil's fire that was around them, and they just simply shook it off. Somebody praise him in this house. Stand up and praise him with me. Stand up and praise him with me. I feel the Holy Ghost in here tonight. If you've ever watched a boxer in a boxing match, he may get hit, knocked out, and knocked down. But what will happen is he'll hear his coach whisper in his ear and say, get up, shake it off, the fight ain't over. Come on. Quarterback will throw an interception in the game, go to the bench and cover his head up with a towel, sit there and beat himself up only to feel the tap of the on his shoulder from his coach and say, shake it off and get back in the game because it ain't over. I've been sent by the Holy Ghost here tonight to tell you something. And that's to get up and shake. Oh, there it is again. Oh, Lord. Get up and shake it off because it ain't over. I said it ain't over. It's not over. It ain't over. Some of you still got a song to sing, a book to write, maybe a sermon to preach, a class to teach, some counsel to give. It's not over. It's not over. I don't have time to get into this, but if you knew my personal story, I'll touch on it. Just about a year ago, I thought it was over for me. I literally took a blow from the devil like I had never, ever took before. And the devil wanted me to believe I had preached my last time and my last sermon. Matter of fact, I'll go this far to tell you, I was pastoring a church, and a group in that church decided that they didn't need me. I was too emotional, a little too excited, and whatever, and didn't know how to do this and do that. And it got to the point till the overseer called me in his office. Never has happened before in my whole ministry. He said, I'm going to have to remove you from where you are. He said, I want you just to go on
the evangelistic field. Said, I'm going to put you on the state team. I didn't have a thing booked to preach. Never heard of that in all my life. So, all right, whatever. And the devil beat me up over that for a while. I thought it was over. I went to my house, sat at my house, began to wonder and worry, how am I going to pay for this thing now? Don't have anywhere to preach. What am I going to do? The Lord gave me a prayer. I wrote it down. It's on my iPad right now. I prayed every day. I just open it up and just read it off because I don't want to miss a word. God gave me every word, and I began to pray that prayer every day. Sent out a few letters. Sent your pastor one. Didn't call, just sent the letter. But believe you me, when I sent that, when I prayed her, I said, God, open that door. I'd really like to go there. Didn't call and ask. Just sent it out and kept praying, kept praying, kept praying. And the devil thought he had me. The devil thought that he had literally destroyed me and my wife. Of course, my kids who are grown suffered from it. And he thought he had me. And I'll be honest with you, I thought he did. Pastor, I thought he did. I sat on my back porch. Part of it screened in. I sat on my back porch and just a nervous wreck. I thought, my God in heaven, I can't do anything but preach. I can't even build a doghouse. A dog wouldn't stay in it because I'm not a handyman. The only thing I can do is just preach. And I prayed that prayer, and I prayed it every day, sometimes twice a day, Kenny. I'd pray that prayer. And I've got to tell you, December 1st, 2013, my phone started ringing. My phone started ringing. Preachers started calling. When can you come? Well, I'm busy, but I can work in. I wasn't about to tell them I didn't have anything. Mm-mm. No, boy, the calls are coming in, but when, what you got in mind? Well, this, oh, yeah, I can do that date, no problem. Somehow, brother, that one's open. I got that one. Wasn't long, I remember the day Brother Jethro called me. He wanted me a different week than this one. I couldn't come. Literally, I couldn't come. I was booked. He said, how soon can you get here? And I told him, I just happened to have this week open. At that time, I had this week open. He said, put me down and come on down. Let me wind this thing up. Just when the devil thought he had me, and he thought it was over, I kind of take my schedule book out. I got it in my pocket tonight. And I'll flip the pages at the devil sometimes. And I'm scheduling revivals right now over in June of next year. So I shake that in the devil's face and say, you thought you had me. I just shook it off. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Here I am. I told you that to tell you this. It ain't over. Until God says it's over, it ain't over.